Okay, good morning, everybody.
The heat's actually on.
The heat is on today, yeah. Okay. We're up to Perek Lamed Ches. I think we're going to try, if we can, to officially cover Perek Lamed Ches today as well. But we'll see what happens. Okay, kol shnei dvarim asher hem mechulakim ein lahem amida yachad ve'echad mevatel hasheni. Maral here says a basic idea, a basic principle, very, very simple principle, where he says that when you have two things that are mechulakim, that are different and opposed, they cannot have amida yachad. They cannot stand together. They cannot exist together. Echad mevatel hasheni. One negates the other. There is a contradiction between the two of them that's irreconcilable. So therefore, they have to stand separately from each other. They won't be able to be together. To the point where they do not have a connection with each other. Separately, they will be able to coexist. Together, they cannot. They are conflicted. But when the time of Mashiach comes, we don't want to have separation or division anymore. Everything is supposed to be together. So not everything, things can't stand alone, separate from each other, because then you don't have that unity of the world. Then, right, one would be mevatel the other. You can't have it. You can't have chiluk. You can't have chiluk ba'olam. So instead, what you have to have, the language is a little bit unclear, to me at least. Right, but what you have to have is you have to have the reconciliation of differences. Okay, so this is the idea which he establishes, that opposites that are not able to coexist, the only way they do exist is by somehow separating them from one another. That's the only way that it's going to be able to work. In the time of Mashiach, you can't have separation, so therefore you're going to have some kind of a reconciliation between these otherwise separate parts. Okay. Let's try to look at some elements of this principle in order to be able to understand it better. Rashi, in the beginning of the Chumash, right, the Torah says, "Ayas Elokim es harakia," and Hashem made the rakia, and He called the rakia Shamayim. What's Shamayim? So Rashi says, "Samayim." Holds up, it carries the water, because remember, there's water above that rakia, above that firmament. Or Shom Mayim, that would be another way to say it. That's where the water is. And then he says Eish Umayim, fire and water. Sheirvan Zebazev Asamhem Shamayim. He mixed together fire and water and made from them the Shamayim, made from them the heavens. So what does that mean? That the Shamayim is somehow a mixing together, reconciliation of Eshumayim, of two opposites, two things which cannot exist in this world.
Mutually exclusive.
How is it that this, you know, that this works? So the you know, there's a Maharal. In the Netzach Yisrael, you have the old edition? Maral in Netzach Yisrael, it says a very nice thing. I don't think it's like Perek Chaf Hei. It's in the first Chelek. Eshumayim, fire and water, right, don't get along together when they are with each other. There's a morale here somewhere. Here we are. Okay. Dumas Ha'olam, says the Maral. Okay, this is just a word here. Dumas Ha'olam are called Mayim in many places. Right? The Maral says, right? Hatzileinu mimayim rabim miyad b'nei nechor. It says, until him save me from Mayim rabim, from the many waters, from the hands of the b'nei nechor, from the hands of the goyim. Mayim rabim layuchlu lichbois asa'ava. Klal Yisrael, however, is called is with Eish, right? Like the Torah, which is Miminai Eish Das Lamai. So he says, Eilu Shnei Dvorim Ha'ish Va'amayim, these two things, fire and water, Im Nis'arvu B'yachad, if they get mixed up together, the water puts out the fire. V'im Ha'ish Oymed Rochek Min Ha'amayim V'nidal Mimenu, however, if the fire is separated from the water, Oz Ha'ish Mechalu Miyabish Ha'amayim, then the fire is able to control the water, right? If the water is in a pot, right, that separates it from the fire, then the fire controls it, it makes it bubble, it makes it evaporate, it makes it disappear. So he says that's the way it works. If Yisrael and the Goyim mix together, then the Goyim are going to overcome them. However, if there's a proper separation which is established between the Goyim and the Bnei Yisrael, then the fire of the Bnei Yisrael is going to be miskaber, is going to overcome them. Okay, so just an example, illustration of the idea of the separation of Eish U'mayim, and that's the way indeed they're able to either both exist or even have the Eish Shail on the mind. But when you put the two of them together, generally speaking, it doesn't work. There was one of the Nisei Mitzrayim was, in fact, this, right? One of the miracles of Mitzrayim was Makas Borad, which was the Eish Mislakachas B'Teicha Borad. The fire was flaming inside the hail, right? It was hail with fire embedded in it, or fire intermittently within it, and it was a very impressive mako. It was one of the makos which had, right, tremendous consequence in terms of the impression which it made on the people, right? So the pasuk Rashi brings neis b'seich neis, so eish v'aborad mu ravim, the fire and the hail mixed together, right? And we say, right, because Murav Haborad Mayim Hu Velasis with same kainam also shalom in to do Hashem's will, they made peace with each other. The fire and water were able to some degree to coexist. Okay, so you can look at it in greater depth to see what this is, but this is essentially a moment of Gula. This is Yitzias Mitzrayim, and in Shamayim, right, the definition to some degree of Shamayim, what's with Hakadosh Baruch Hu is ultimate Achdus, ultimate unity. So whereas the varying things that exist in the world normally are not able to coexist without separation, but at a time of Geula, at a time of redemption, or where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the Shamayim, where there isn't feud, where there isn't separation, there the opposites are somehow learning the art of coexistence, without barrier, without separation, the art of togetherness. Rabbi Hartman brings just it's poshut and it's beautiful and it's simple, but the famous prophecies of Yeshayahu, where he says, "V'gor ze'ev im keves, v'nomerim gedi yerbot, z'chufiru meri yachtav, v'parav v'doiv tirana yachtav, aryeh kabokar yechal teven, v'shishay yenak, alchor pesen," right? Where the wolf will lie with the lamb, right? And the leopard will lounge in the fields with the goat, and so on and so forth. These are things which in a certain sense are opposites in this world, things which generally speaking the only way they can both exist is when they don't coexist, where you have the leopard in its cage and the sheep in its pen, whatever it is, you have to keep them separate from each other in order for them to be able to survive. But in the time of Mashiach, the description of things is that even these things which normally would not be able to coexist, somehow now a new harmony is going to be able to be achieved between these two things. They're somehow able to come together. Yeah.
What about the neshama and the guf?
Okay. So, very good. So you have the neshama and the guf. You have other examples of things where their relationship is a very, very tense relationship. And potentially, however, a much more harmonious relationship. And yes, that's exactly a classic or the classic example which would exist. Let's you have the famous statement of the Chavetz Halvavos and many other Bali Avoda that say that in truth the neshama and guf to some degree present something of a contradiction, right? That kifi sheyarbe haoretz whatever binyan yarbe asechel churban, he says, to the extent that the land, that the physical world, that the physical preoccupations of the person get built up, then the intellectual, spiritual components of the person begin to diminish. It's very much a conflict that the person has between focusing on their spiritual well-being and focusing on their physical well-being. Now, ultimately, of course, we strive for a harmony called b'chol d'rachecha da'eyu v'yayashir achaisecha, where we're involved in the physical world as something that will support and help our spirituality, that we can somehow spiritualize the physicality, right? And that's, of course, what all of us were thinking yesterday when we were eating cholent, right? That we're going to spiritualize it, right? But it's an easy thing to think about, and it's a difficult thing to actualize, right? The combination, bringing together of those two, to some degree it is there as a contradiction, right? I think I spoke to you once about this idea that indeed this is the Ace of Yaakov, right? He also brings a little bit of it here in the beginning of his thing. But right, Yaakov and Esav is the classic example of this idea of conflict. That we say, even there in the womb, these two things were at war with each other. Right? Mime ayich yiparedu, right? Some translators, once they come out, they'll be divergent. But it was the explanation of the rumblings which were there in Rivka's stomach, that there was a conflict that was there to begin with between them. Yaakov and Esav were ruchnius and gashmius. They were polar opposites. Yaakovina was perfectly pure, Esav was perfectly impure, right? And therefore there was this conflict which would exist between them. They had a great, great difficulty, a great, great challenge of coexistence. And in fact, Chazal indeed tell us that a person who's going to tell you that Yerushalayim and Rome are both built strong and thriving, don't believe them. Right, because they can't coexist. Because when one is strong, the other one is weak. Ula'im mila'im ya'amotz. When one is strong, the other one is weak. It's only lenismalei tzur elamei churbana shel Yerushalayim. That was only built on the ruins of Yerushalayim. There is this difficulty of these two things being able to be together, and to some degree, of course, again, Yaakov is spirituality, Esav is physicality. It applies to the same kind of a dynamic, that the more we are involved in the physical, the more the spiritual seems to shrink. The more we're involved in the spiritual, the more the physical seems to shrink. And again, in an ideal sense, we want to be able to see reconciliation. And in an ideal sense, we do. That's the idea of coming to a place where you're going to have tremendous, tremendous physical strength and health. In fact, eternity, right? Even as the spirit is very much strong, right? The giants and the longevity, you know, Adam Arishon, who's described as being of huge physical proportions, and he lived, right? He would have lived 1,000 years, so he was cut down. He lived 930, right? These are physical manifestations of his spiritual greatness. And there we, in fact, seek to have this kind of an ultimate reconciliation, which is also tied up with this ultimate reconciliation, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks about. That instead of what we had as a result of eating from the Eitz Hadas, which was creating this conflict where the physical draws the person away from Hashem, oh, he's going to ignore the commandment of Hashem because of the attractiveness and deliciousness and desirability of the fruit, no, physical desire should not be a conflict with the Avodas Hashem, with the service of Hashem. Somehow it's to be reconciled. But in fact, in this world, as we are, where we stand, there is a great degree of opposition between the two of them. Again, idealistically, we speak of a harmony. Practically, we have a hard time with it. Right, Rav Tzadok says someplace, I think it was Rav Tzadok, says someplace that we have the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos of kachi darka shel Torah. This is the way of the Torah. Pas ba melach teichal umayim b'mesura tishne v'aloretz tishan v'chayetar tichya. You eat bread with salt, and you drink water by measure, and you sleep on the ground, right? And you live a life of deprivation, right? That's the way. Really? Right? I thought it says also in Pirkei Avos that, you know, a person was Isaac B'Torah Lishma, the whole world was created for that person. Right? Everything was created for him. Kol Olam Kulei Kedai Uloi. Hashem, why did Hashem make all the wonderful things just for him? Right? Why did the Romans build the bridges? Why did they make the bathhouses? You know, just for him, just for the people who are studying Torah. So he says, in an ultimate sense, of course, everything is there for the person to be able to harmonize. But in the world of Achar HaChet, before we re-achieve reconciliation between those two things, there is a conflict which will exist between spirituality and physicality. It's a reality. There's a conflict which exists between the two of them. And therefore, harmony is difficult to achieve. Part of the feature of the ultimate coming of the Mashiach is achieving the harmony that previously would not have been so within reach.
Is that actually doable in mice in this world? I say that because when we read Masil Shisharim, it seems like that's the whole third level that we're shooting for. The reality is, I noticed that...
Which third level?
He says at the beginning that the first level is that man basically just do it without thinking about it, doing mitzvahs without thinking about it. The second level is to do it mitzvahs with the idea of the mashal in the world. And the world is sort of like a test. And the third level is, he says, if you look deeper, you'll see that basically the world...
The stones of Yaakov.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what he's shooting for, but I noticed that the chapters, the last few chapters, I guess on that third level, are very short.
Right. The Ramchal's practical advice is precious. Ramchal, when he, you know, the Shara precious, he speaks about a person recognizing that even things which are mutter to indulge in this world, but ultimately they distract the person's attention, and he speaks very much about this notion of the physical pulling a person away from this world. In the end, by Ruach HaKodesh, right, and Tchias HaMesim, he speaks about the fact that when the person eats, it's like putting a carbon on the Mizbeach. You know, it's all going to Hashem. Nothing which he does is any kind of a distraction from this world, because everything is mamish harmonized together in one, you know, Ato Kodesh, V'Shimcha Kodesh, right? This is the idea which he has. It. It's an ideal, and it's a picture which we ought have. It's one which is very, you know, which I think a lot of times we can be very delusional about. I think we can be very delusional about it. Very delusional about it. Very delusional about it. You know, I love the old days when you went to like the biggest Mekaymus Torah in the world, like Lakewood and Mir, and it was so simple. It was unbelievable. It was like nothing. It was like the building was built in 1960, and I think they dusted it once, you know, between then and 1980. You know, like I'm saying, like it wasn't. It was simple, Spartan, basic, everything. No, now Kol Yisrael is different hasagas. You know, now, in order to maintain basic Kavanat Torah, so you have marble floors and mahogany, you know, doorways and door frames and
cherry wood.
Okay.
Italian villas.
And it's like it doesn't have the same feel. So okay, Kavanat Torah and all of these nice things. But we know that it's simultaneous with a tremendous draw after Gashmias, which exists throughout our world, that's not enhancing spirituality. Hard to see at all how it's enhancing spirituality. It's part of the delusion and distraction which we have, and it's not nearly as it once was. So we need, you know, so there's, you know, one has to be very, very realistic about these things, I think. But this is, you know, this is part of the condition of the world, that there are things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates which are opposing elements, which part of the ultimate goal of Geula, of Mashiach, of what's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all of these dissonant things. Everything comes from him. Yoytzer Oyer Uvayrei Choshech. Yoytzer Shalom Uvayrei ra. That's what the pasuk says. We say as hakol, we want to be gentler, right? Chazal established it that way, right? Hashem created the light and the darkness. Right? I mean, I once suggested something in a shir that if you look at the brachas of Kriyat Shema, right, the three brachas of Kriyat Shema, they correspond to the three paragraphs of Kriyat Shema. The two brachas before and the bracha afterwards, they correspond to three paragraphs of Kriyat Shema. And we won't get into all the details of it right now. However, the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, right, the affirmation of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is the first bracha, where you recognize that everything in Hashem's varied world, it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all comes from one source. So in the Bayim Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad is that somehow Eirin Chaydesh Chayshech will function together, right? Vayavdil Elokim in Eirin Chayshech. Rashi says originally the Eirin Chayshech were Mishtamish Birbuyu. They both were functioning there together. There's such a thing as a reconciliation of opposites, of opponents, of things that would be different. So the Maharal goes on over here in this section to speak about the ultimate issue, right? Remember, the heading of this perek is Milchemes Gog u'Magog, right? That's what we've been talking about. Last week we spoke about that war. We spoke about Mashiach ben Yosef fighting that war and so on. Milchemes Gog u'Magog is the war of the nations against the Jewish people. Lama, Rav Shu Goyim, Lul Mim Yeg, Rit, Yisat, Sumach, Yer, Etz, Reis, Minas, V'yachad, Al Hashem, V'yal Mashiachai. So he says, the ultimate conflict between Yisrael and the Ummas is the conflict of the many against the unified. The Goyim represent Ribui, right? That piece that I just read you from the Maral Perek Chafei in the Netzach Yisrael, where he says their complaint compared to Mayim, to water, water which is Ribui, Mayim Rabim, right? Water is many, many. There's no term for Mayim that isn't in the plural, right? There's no singular term for Mayim. There's no plural term for Eish, right? Right? There's a conflict between Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael is a nation which is supposed to be at its core one, whereas the Ummais are at their core many. Right? Yaakov and Esav also goes into this kind of a division. Yaakov is, as Rashi says in Parshas Vayigash, right, b'shivin nefesh, right, it's 70 souls and it refers to them as nefesh. And in the parsha we just read in Parshas Vayishlach, it refers to Esav and mentions six people, or that's what Rashi says. It's really not exactly six, and it says nafshais beisai, right? He took all of the nafshais of his household, right? With the few, you already refer to it in the plural, right? With the few, you already refer to it in the plural. Whereas with Bnei Yisrael, which is many, many more, who are many, many more. They refer to them in the singular, because this is it, right? Right, and he left. Right, Esav is ribui. Right, the Umas Ha'Olam are ribui. That's going to be a big difference of the way things stand between them. And again, this is also something which is very much a subject of reconciliation. And I want to, again, this is something from Mamish, from yesterday's Parsha, by Yishlach. Right, so Yaakov Avinu comes to Esav, and he's offering him all of these gifts, and Esav turns him down. Why? Because what does he say? Yeshli Rav, I have much. Right, Rav is from the term Ribui. I have much, I have many. Achi, Loch HaShelach, keep what's yours. And Yaakov Avinu insists. What does he say? Kichanani Elokim v'chiyeshli koil. Hashem has been gracious to me, and I have it all. So Rashi says, "Oh, you see, that's the difference between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov says kol, right, which is a more humble term. Esav says rav, many, which is a more brazen term, right? The language of Rashi, exactly." I have everything I need. Esav diber b'loshen gaiva, yesh li rav, yosef mikadei tzarchi. More and more than I need. So again, it's ribui, right? Kol, whole, implies a complete unit, right? It's together. Rav is, I have this, and I have this, and I have this, and I have this. And there's a difference between ribui, between the many, and the kol, and the whole, the unity, the one. This is, again, that same conflict, and they can't get together. I want to show you something mamish beautiful. Gorgeous. Not nice. Right? Gorgeous. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells the story about the one incident that we have, the one illustration that we have of Yaakov and Esav together. Right? In our parsha, we have Yaakov fighting with Esav, right? Esav has, he's going to kill him, he's running away. Then we have when he manages to mollify him, but how does he then work, right? Esav says, oh, let's go together. Yaakov says, no, that ain't going to work. You go ahead. I'm going to go, I have many, many children, right? I travel very slowly. I stop at every exit on the New Jersey Turnpike, right? You go ahead. You don't want to go with me. So he says to him, so go ahead. So Yaakovino understands that with Esav, if they're going to be together, there's going to be, you know, it doesn't work. The only way these two opposites can quote-unquote exist is by not coexisting, not by existing together, but by separation, by distance. But there was one time when we have a good combination of the two of them. That was Antoninus and Rebbe. Antoninus and Rebbe. At the end of days, V'olam Hashim V'arayitzen Shpes HaRisov, right, but Antoninus and Rebbe, Marcus Aurelius and Rabbeinu HaKodesh, Rav Yudah Nasi. Right, so they had a Chavrusa Shaf. Rebbe, Antoninus completely deferred to Rebbe. He wanted to learn Torah from him all the time. And the Gemara tells the story that how Antoninus used to consult Rebbe and so on and so forth. And the Gemara says, every day he was sent to Rebbe flaked gold, chipped gold in a sack, and he had wheat arranged across the top of it so people would think that it was a bag of wheat. They wouldn't realize it was a bag of gold. So who was sending gifts to whom? Esav was sending to Yaakov, the opposite of our situation over here where Yaakov, you know, feels he has to defer to Esav. Omar Luhu, take this wheat to Rebbe. Amalei Rebbe, loit tzrichna. Rebbe said, I don't need it. Isli means, in Aramaic, yeshli, I have. Isli, what's the next word?
Gold.
Tuva. You know what tuva is in Aramaic?
A lot.
Rov. Yaakovinu's grandson, Rebbe, says to Esav, who's sending him a gift, exactly what Esav said to Yaakov when Yaakov sent him a gift. He says, yeshli rov. So he insists anyway, it should be belong to whoever it was. And then the Gemara goes on and describes this dramatic Chavrusa Shaf, where Antoninus had to build a tunnel from his house to Rebbe's house because people couldn't know that they were learning together. And on the other hand, he couldn't travel without a security detail. So every day, he would go to learn with the Chavrusa, he would take his security guard with him. And then when he got to Rebbe's door, he said, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to kill you. And he killed him, right? And then he had another security guard come and pick him up, and then he said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to kill you. Right? So that was like, talk about being Moser Nefesh for a Chavrusa, right? Moser somebody else's Nefesh for a Chavrusa, right? So this is what happened. And he Antoninus bent down on the floor so Rebbe Yudah Nasi could step on him to get onto his bed. I mean, this is the relationship of Esav and Yaakov, where Esav understands that Yaakov Avinu was supposed to be the one on top. And he respects him for his spiritual things, and he's doing all the stuff we speak about. Oh, in the perfect Esav Yaakov relationship, which Yitzchak was hoping for, which is why he wanted to give the brachas to Esav, Esav would provide all the material and physical strength in the world in support of Yaakov Avinu. And here, you're having it. Unfortunately, it wasn't the Roman Empire. It was just a very important person in the Roman Empire who was scared at the time because the Roman Empire wasn't going to be ready to swallow it. And Yaakov Avinu says, Yeshli Rav. Rav Yudah Nasi says, Yeshli Rav.
What did he say?
Why did he say Yeshli Rav?
I forgot.
Why did he say it this way? Something big here, no? So, I mean, it's mamish, it's glaring. Isli Tuva, that's Aramaic for Yeshli Rav. I don't remember if I ever looked, but let me see. What does he say over here, the Targum Onkelos?
Red alert.
Huh? Isli Sagi. Okay. Mm-hmm. Could have been the same thing. Okay, Isli Sagi. I have Isli Tuva. It's mamish. Right? I have so much. So, Yaakov's not speaking B'Lashon Gaiva. Rav Yehuda HaNasi is not speaking B'Lashon Gaiva. Rav Yehuda HaNasi was Tayru Gdula B'Mokai Mechad. He had Tayra and greatness in the world in one place. The Gemara says it was unique. He had Tayra material. He was Rav Yehuda the prince. He was the head of the Sanhedrin and he was the king of the Jewish people. And to some degree, he was incorporating Yaakov and Esav. This was the good story, was incorporating Yaakov and Esav. Pure Yaakov is Echad versus the ribui of the nations. But what he's saying to the greatest degree is that I have already also incorporated the world of ribui. Now, yes, you can look at me and you can say, well, one second, isn't he supposed to incorporate them all and make them Echad? Yeah, he is supposed to incorporate them all and make them Echad. He's supposed to. Maybe indeed that to some degree wasn't complete, because as you know, Rebbe looked around at the end of his life and he said, I didn't have any Hanoah from this world. He had all of this physical stuff, he owned it, but he didn't use it. Right? It's the way simple pshat in the Gemara is, Taisha says, that even though it says that Rebbe had his table laden with all kinds of delicacies, but he didn't eat from them. Right? So, in a certain sense, he's saying, I've incorporated the ribui. Maybe it's not perfectly reconciled. Okay, but it's connected to this. Leave it for you to think about some more. But there's this conflict between the Umais and Yisrael, which is the conflict between ribui and echad. And this is the ultimate conflict which brings to the days of Mashiach, because the ultimate day of Mashiach is when everything is supposed to be echad. So the Umais, which conflict with Klal Yisrael, and the strength of their conflict is what suspends the coming of the Mashiach. Their essence is ribui, and it has to be, in that sense, overcome. When the Umay stand up against Yisrael, this is the nature of what it is that they're standing up against. Maral says, beautiful thing and a positive thing, that there in Tehillim, by Melchemes Gog u'Magog, Perek Beis, Kapitel Beis in Tehillim, what they say, right? They stand up al Hashem v'al Meshichoi, against Hashem and against His Anointed One. Because, as we know, the Achdus, the unity of Klal Yisrael, stems from the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ato Echad, V'Shimcha Echad, U'mikam Chisro Goyechad Baretz. To the extent that we're the people of Hashem, we have that Achdus, we have that internal cohesion, we have that internal unity. And so when Klal Yisrael is opposed by the Umay Sa'ilam, it's an extension of their opposition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem Yisbarach. It's all together here at once. And Maral brings a beautiful medrash. A beautiful medrash, which it's a simple medrash. He brings it and he makes it into a beautiful medrash. Shows the beauty of the medrash. The medrash in Sefer Yahshua says, Vayiskasu yachtav lilochanim Yahshua. The nations of Canaan gathered together, yachtav, as one, to wage war against Yahshua. Amar Rabbi Eve, b'shem Rabbi Elazar, b'neisha Rabbi Yosi Aglili, b'shloisha mekaymeis hayuchalkim ba'olam al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are three times that the creatures who had come to this world wage war against Hashem. Echad b'dar haflaga. The first time was in the dar haflaga, by the Tower of Bavel. As it says, v'yichal aret safa echas u'dvarim achadim. The world was one language and single words. Right? What is that? They had words of blasphemy going against the One, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're waging war against Hashem. Right? That's the picture which the Medrash draws for us in the Dar HaFloga generally. Another time is Bimei Goig u'Magog, as it says, Yisatzu Melech Eretz v'Reisu Nuneizu Yachad al Hashem al Mashichai. They all get Yachad, they get together. You understand, by the Dar HaFloga they got together against Hashem. Here they get together against Hashem and against Mashichai. And another time was in the days of Yahshua, in between. Dar HaFloga, the beginning, Gog u'Magog, the end, in the middle, in the days of Yahshua. As it says, Vayiskabtzu yachatav lilochim Yahshua Yisrael pe'echad. They gathered yachat together to wage war against Yahshua and against Yisrael pe'echad, one mouth. What does that mean, one mouth? They argued against Hashem that it says Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So these are all wars against the Echad, and they're all wars against Klal Yisrael. So we already understand it, right? And to some degree, the nations, they take their ribui and they come together in some way to oppose the Hashem Echad. Right? We marshal the power of ribui and we go against Hashem, right? In Sfarim it says, right, that even here it says Dvarim Achadim, right? Even their Echad is Achadim, right? There's a plural that exists within the ribui of these people. But they're coming together because this is the point of conflict where they have to assemble as one huge wave of Mayim Rabim, of water, to come against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, against Echad. So what's the idea that it happens at these three times? At these three junctures? So
they're all about Peh.
Huh?
They're all about Peh.
They're all about Peh, right? That's a good point. He doesn't...
Safa Achas.
Saf Achas and Peh Echad by... maybe by here also Yegu is also to speak. It's less explicit. Less explicit. But
flies wrong.
Huh?
Points of transition with flies wrong because the Ravram came out about the
good.
And then the Bagamaga is like, of course, the completion of everything, and then Yeshua is bringing into Eretz Yisrael, which was like a level of completion for Eretz Yisrael.
Okay. Excellent. And he says he just takes a little more refined. Because each one of these was a moment of Echad. It was a moment of Echad. Why? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the Dor HaFlog, at that period, Hashem was choosing Avram. Right? Asara Dairis Minayach Ver Avram. And they were all Machisim Uboyim until Avram came and took the reward of them all. Right? The climactic point of the angering of those generations was in the HaFlog, in the Tower of Babel. It was the choice of Avram, the one, Echad Hoya Avram, he's called one, from amongst the many, at the time of the dispersion. That's what was happening over there. It was the choosing of the one that then excluded everybody else, and that raised the Umayis HaOlam to come and wage war against the one, which was the choice of Avram Avinu. And we're going to say in the Signa, and we're quotes this pasuk in the Perek, for some reason in this Hesber he doesn't quote it, but it's mamish fits in this pasuk, in this Hesber, is that was the moment of Mika Amcha Yisrael Goyechad Boretz. Mika Amcha Yisrael Goyechad. Then the time of Yeshua was where Klal Yisrael as a people was taken into Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael was then Nivchar from all of the world. Now you might say, well, that already happened in the time of Avram, right? Lech lecha me'artzecha me'latecha me'zavicha. Right after the Dor HaFloga, the end of Parshas Noach, beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem tells Avram to go to Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael is already Nifchar, but it wasn't theirs yet, you understand. It didn't become the property of the Jews in true holding until the time of Yeshua. That's when they went and they conquered the land. The Haknani Oz Ba'aretz, right? That's what it always says by Avram Avinu. The Knani was still there in the land. We bought a kever, we bought a piece of Shechem, you know. We didn't own Eretz Yisrael. The time of Yeshua, the kibush, that was when we owned it. And in fact, Chazal tell us that until Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, you could say Shira any place. Right? But once Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, in the time of Yeshua, you could only say Shira in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, there was a transformation. And the way the Maral says it, now this became the one place in the world of Hashras Hashchina, even though to a certain degree that was true earlier as well, but now it became much more. There was a choosing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, what? There's a one? There's an exclusive? There's a unity? There's a single? Everybody else is going to gang up. Remember what I told you from Ramesha Shapira? Right? Bochar equals the same letters as Charev. Right? When you choose one, you destroy the rest. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avram Avinu, Kibos Char Kulam, he took the reward of them all to some degree that excluded everybody else and left them out. They rise up to fight. So that was Goyachod Ba'aretz. One people in one land. There was the Bechira of Kal Yisrael in the time of Avram. There was the Bechira of the land in the time of Yehoshua. And then, what's in the time of Gog u Magog? is Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad. It's when it all comes together, because then Hashem's oneness, Hashem's unity is being revealed. And again, Raizdim Raizdu Yachad Al Hashem Yal Mashiach. So anything which brings out this core unity, this core singleness, this core thing of revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, raises the tremendous hackles of the Ummah Yisraelim, of the nations of the world, that they have to oppose. And it's going to be, therefore, the challenge of the time of the Mashiach, is somehow these are all going to somehow become blended. Right? They're all going to have to be like Antoninus was with Rebbe. That they won't, right? If they're going to be oppositional, they're going to be quashed, they're going to be destroyed. Their only choice is going to be, to some degree, to truly attach, to fuse, of the Shechem Echad, to serve him like, you know, like one shoulder, together, in order to be able to come together with Hashem, because that's the point of reconciliation. But Gog u'Magog, the war, is when the many feel completely, completely threatened, therefore, by this unity, by the singularity of Am Yisrael, of Hashem. The war of the many and the few, right? I mean, it sounds, of course, like Chanukah, right? Rabim biyad ma'atim. Right? Ma'atim isn't echad, it's few against many, right? But in a certain sense, of course, you know, it's this same idea. It's not many. Le'b'chay le'b'chayach, right? It was a small flask of oil. The idea is that ribui is not where power is, right? Ribui is not where power is. Power is not in multiplicity. We don't have to go there, right? But you know, the essence of this kind of a conflict, which is always there, again, the mayim of plural against the eish of yachid, is the real thing. Right? Bereshis is the beginning of the physical creation of the world, is with a beis, which is ribui, and revelation, right? Aseres, when HaKadosh Baruch came, Kol Yisrael Sinai, was with the aleph of Anoichi, with the one against many, and that creates conflict. Yeah.
You said that the conflict came when the nation realized the threat of this unity. But you said Avraham came after or Mashiach comes after the war. I mean, the war came first, and then came the looming
presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the tremendous conflict which exists with them. And it creates their pseudo unity. They galvanize, they come together instead of everyone in their own direction, because they're seeing here the ultimate unity which is going to drive them out. Their pseudo unity comes up against the ultimate unity which is going to drive them out. There's a pirud in this world. The definition of Yemais HaMashiach is the reconciliation of pirud. Just like the definition of Shamayim is Eshumayim. Right? The definition of it is ultimately that everything is supposed to do it. Right? Su'u marayim einechem ru'u mi bara eila. Look up to the heavens and see who is the one that created them all. Right? That's the expression of the ultimate end of days, is to see the source for everything. So then, the conflicting elements of the everything all come back to their source, and they're going to be reconciled there. Until that point, there's conflict. They can't coexist. At that point, fire and water will exist together. Over and over again. Over and over again. Because that requires, in other words, in order to have this complete remake, that's part of the Gog u'Magog thing. The conflict before is a world-wrenching, you know, destructive conflict. Because the paradigm, the way it is, it can't. Right? We can't have we don't have Tchias HaMesim as it is. Right? The physicality of this world, the way it is not accepting Ruchnius. Right? Ramchal writes in the Derech Hashem, right? It says, you have to understand the difference between Kaidam Achet and Lacharat. Kaidam Achet, the physical being of a person, the human, right, the spirit wasn't just keeping a person alive and making him move and think, right? But it was transforming the physical nature of the person. Then when man ate from the Eitz Hadas, the physicality became entrenched, and we don't see anymore the impact of the spiritual in the physical. So what has to happen? It has to go back into the earth, and has to decompose and disappear, and that has to happen largely to the world itself. Right, Shisa Alfe Alma, Alfe Shani Ave Alma, V'chad Charev, there's 6 millennia when the world exists, and one it ceases to exist. Then when it re-emerges in that form where it's ready to accept the spirit. Where it's ready to accept the Hashpas, Hanashama Al Aguf, the influence of the soul on the body. Yeah, that's reconciliation. That's now the two opposites can exist. But they'll have to be destroyed first, because it has to completely move out of the mode in which it's in right now, where it's resistant, where it has a spiritual resistance strain.
It almost sounds like Tefillas HaMeisim.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yemais HaMashiach
is the prelude to Tefillas HaMeisim. Right? Yemais HaMashiach is the prelude to Tefillas HaMeisim. I mean, there are many differences of opinion amongst the Rishayim about this, you know. But according to the mainstream opinions, as of the Ramchal, the Ramban, right, is that Yemais HaMashiach comes, a level of perfection is achieved, but perfect reconciliation is not yet achieved, till a process which then leads the world to a new stage called Tchias HaMeisim. And that's this idea, it's entrenched. The contradiction still exists to a great degree. Yeah.
Who has to be destroyed? Everyone? Or the nations of the world?
Everything. Everything. Everything in its physical form. Everything in its... Oh, well, it will exist. The neshamas will exist, but their physical form will have to be broken down and remade. Broken down and remade.
Structure the entire world. Is that what it really means?
I can never tell you what it really means, but that's what it sounds like.
I was asking, does it really mean that it's structuring the entire world?
Again, it's not before the time of the Mashiach. Not before the time of the Mashiach.
So we don't have to say that. I'm not being serious. That's what you're saying.
It's a welcome process to say, okay, good, now you'll recreate us. You know, you'll be Lev Tar Barali Elikim Rachmachan Kadosh. So it's going to be a recreation at that point in time. We still have worries, you know. We still have worries because even without total destruction, you know, Gog Magog is not a walk in the park. Chevle Mashiach are Shver Zachen, as we say in French. Huh?
There's many of them that says that I wouldn't want to be around.
Yeah, Yesiv Leachmine. Yesiv Leachmine.
The Rambam has a different
approach. Oy vey, oy vey, oy vey.
Huh? The Rambam has a completely different approach, though, right?
Rambam's approach to Tchias HaMeisim is completely different than anybody else. And it was so different than anybody else that people put him in Cheirim because of it, and argued with him heatedly because of it. Rambam's approach to Tchias HaMeisim is just, Yemais HaMashiach is a great time. People will never live eternally in physical bodies. Physical bodies are meant to be discarded, right? The real world is the world of the soul and of the spirit, and there's no such thing as having the soul take over the body. Just that, you know, poor guy who lived in Poland in 1700, right? And you know, so give the guy a chance. So when Mashiach's here and things are much better, we'll bring him back, we'll give him another chance. That's the Rambam's Tchias HaMeisim. And that's a big thing, right? It's a miracle, it's unbelievable, and so on and so forth. But it's not the way the other Rishonim view it, which is a fundamental change to the whole nature of the world, bringing it back to the Matzav of Gan Eden, Kaidem Achet. Rambam didn't subscribe to that, it seems. Okay. Very good. So I'm not going to do Periklamet test today, and either we'll do it quickly next week. I mean, you know, I'm torn. You'll tell me your advice. The Prokim are shorter; they're much shorter. The first Chelik of the Netzach Yisrael is very different than the second Chelik of the Netzach Yisrael. The first Chelik of the Netzach Yisrael is drawing in very, very broad strokes everything. The second Chelik of the Netzach Yisrael is much more sort of like incremental, you know, and dealing with some of the elements, the details. You know, there's a lot to learn here, obviously. So we can spend the whole week on Periklamatas. It's not a problem. It's very short, right? And the words themselves we can get through pretty quickly. But, you know, there are elements that we can expand upon it. I don't know if you are interested in mileage, you know, or you're interested in just, we could do one parak, you know, unit, bite size, the way the Maral, this here at least, and that's the way he divided the units, right? We could do it that way, or we could try to go a little quicker, you know, and try to absorb more, you know, once it's your call. Or
how long is Lamed Mem, I guess, would be the way.
It's also not, they're not long. The prakim are not long. Mem is a little longer than these, but, you know, they're not very long prakim. We'll see. I don't know. If you have the feelings, do you want to, you know, finish this, so to speak, quicker so we can go on to Tiferes? You know, if there's a strong feeling one way or the other.
That's a person.
Is it Bezos Hashem? Bezos Hashem. Bezos Hashem. We should all live and be well.